good to be in the Lord's house, isn't it? It's good to rest in His presence. And this peace is what we're going to be speaking about today. Fortified by peace. Children's Church. I always forget that. Forgive me. Children's Church, those that are involved in Children's Church, thank you guys for taking care of that. Peace. If I was to say peace, I would say, hey, peace mind. When we're talking about peace that only comes through Christ and our verses that we're going to see in the context of our verses, I love that, our memory verse, we actually get to see the context of Paul's writing. And when we talk about peace, I mean, what comes to mind? Is it a tranquility? Is it being at ease with all things? I mean, when we're talking about fortified by peace, which our life should be, in my own testimony, I talk about peace a long time. I talk about not having peace with God. I talk about there's an inner turmoil within a man, and when we don't have Christ in our heart, it's a lack of peace. And for me, as a young man, you've heard me give my testimony. As a young man, I sought to fill that void with all kinds of things, and I didn't understand that's what I was searching for. It was my quest to figure out what life was about. It was my quest to ease this internal turmoil that was inside. I was never satisfied. I always felt like there's more to life than this, and so it was this lack of completeness. And what it was Christ was missing. And just this week, a young man was sitting here on the steps. I went to West Jefferson. I came, and he was here. And you know, it's unusual when you see somebody sitting on the steps. And I come over and said, you know, what's going on? He told me his name and called him by name. I said, what's going on? He said, well, and he didn't want to answer. And then I said, you can, you know, you're all right. You can tell me. You know, I'll pray for you. And he shared that him and his mom. He was 19. Him and his mom had been in a fuss. And so, you know, it was all that thing. I think he had walked off to scare her. You know how that is, scare mom and dad to death. But I've got the opportunity, as I was talking about, how we don't have this peace. We have a constant turmoil in life. And that I use my own testimony, and I shared the gospel with him. One thing about Todd, North Carolina, I told somebody, it doesn't matter. It's come time as a pastor, you know, you're surrounded with taking care of your people, and you said, you know, as far as reaching out lost people, you don't have to worry about that right here. It's a constant, steady flow of people. All you want to do, you can wear yourself out with just talking to people coming through here. I thank God for that. You know, sometimes we look at it as a burden, but ministry is about people. It's about reaching people. And so I got to share the gospel, and then I know that he went home and all that, but you never know. The seed of that gospel is talking about peace, you know. When we get to our scriptures today in Philippians chapter 4, 2 through 7, there's a couple ladies that are going to be mentioned. You know, women took a prominent role. I love the New Testament church. The role changed, you know, the equality that God saw in women, the roles are different, but Jesus made everything equal. Made everybody equal. And so we see the prominence of these roles that are be coming out. We see these women that were the dynamic duo, if you please, but they were having trouble within the church. And we're going to see that there was a lack of peace. Because you remember Lydia, the seller of purple? That's how Philippian church started, from a woman there on the riverbank as they was worshiping. But Paul's going to call out a couple ladies here. Their lack of peace, their lack of getting along was jeopardizing the church. And so he actually calls them out by name, too. He's like, wow, we'll talk about that in a little bit. There'd be a lot of people leave mad, boy, if we did that day. But he does that. He has that kind of relationship with them. But it reminds me of a poem. You know, it's not always easy to get along with each other, is it? It's not always easy for us to just all be at peace with one another. We have different personalities, and conflicts happen. But you know what? Our differences should never jeopardize the focus of the church or what the church is about as a whole. And so listen to this poem. Reminds me of a poem. It says, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's another story. It can be like that sometimes, can it? It can be that way, and that's being real and how we work through those things. So peace is an important part of the life of the church. And today I want us to look at two principles Paul uses to fortify the church by peace. And let's stand to our feet and reverence God's word and read Philippians chapter 4, 2 through 7. We're in that last chapter, man. We've been in Philippians for a while, and And so we're reaching the last chapter. A lot of great, great verses that we'll see. Philippians 4:2. I implore Udio and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's our memory verse. I'll say it together. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word, time to come together. We're asking you just to show us what it is that you would teach us through your word. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth. I pray for one that maybe doesn't know you as personal Savior, that peace that we're going to talk about that's not there. I pray you'll draw them. Today will be the day that they receive the greatest peace of all, and that's Christ. And so it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to see a plea for peace as our first point here. And Paul starts out, and he's reaching out to these ladies, and I thought Udio and Syntyche, they might be mad because somebody named them that. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just saying, those are unique names, but he's calling these ladies out. Remember, Paul's reaching out. I want us also to think about, it's a personal plea. Listen to what he says. I implore Udio and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. He's asking for spiritual stability. It's very easy for us. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for women, praise God, everybody can say amen. Look at how the women have carried our churches and been the backbone a lot of times. Now, I think we have a good group of men right here, and we're raising up to that. But in the past, women have carried our churches. They've been the backbone, those kind of things. And God, I'm so thankful for women and their part. But you know what? Women can be stubborn sometimes. Can any man say amen? Why always that? That's smart men. Smart men. But women can be stubborn. And you know what? When you have two headstrong women, a lot of times there's going to be some trouble. And that's just normal. I want you to know that's just normal. But Paul's saying don't focus on what you don't have in common, but focus on the things that you do have in common. And keep, because you know what? Many times it's those things of the flesh that can get our mind off of the things that's so important, the things of the Spirit. And so the news of the women falling out had reached Paul in prison. He's in Rome in a prison. Don't forget that. The last couple weeks we hadn't talked about that. Paul's writing this from prison in Rome. And that news had reached him. So it was not just a little tiff. It's just some division that's happening. And he tells them, you know, I'm giving you this personal plea. And he's saying, he's asking them to have the focus on their commonality. Focus on the things you have in common. Think the same things in the Lord. Focus on Jesus and what we're about. It's very easy for us to get our eyes off of what's important when we're trying to do things and we want things our way a lot of times if we're not careful. And it's very easy for us to get our focus and our mind off of the things of Christ, and that's what the church is about. I told our young people today, and we were talking about in 1 John and the love of God, and that's the love of God. It really is what motivates us to do everything that we do, and it's that love that should saturate the church for us to go out and we reach out to a community and to a world all around us. It's that love, but sometimes if we're not careful, we lose that focus on what we're about, and we start thinking about our own things and how somebody's hurt our feelings or how this or that. You fill in the blank. We're all guilty of that, and we'll lose our focus. And Paul's, he's giving them a personal plea from a dungeon, from a cell in Rome. That's how important it was. Boy, can you feel when they're reading this letter before the church of Philippi? That's how they read these letters. Parchment. Can you imagine when those names are called out? Everybody draws up. It gets uncomfortable, don't it? And all eyes, you know, are probably on these two ladies. Probably one sitting over here and one sitting over there kind of deal. And all eyes are on those two ladies probably, you know, and it's like, wow. But Paul loves them. And I love this because it wasn't a question of that. He loved them. He was their father in the faith. He's the one that birthed the church. He had a right to be able to say, please, I'm imploring you. I'm asking you do this for the church. And not only a personal plea, but look, intervention, please. And he says, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. He's asking for some intervention. Please, who's he asking? He's asking the church, the fellowship. We as God's children should cultivate harmony in the church fellowship, should we not? Paul's calling his true companion, which means yoke fella, someone who shares a common burden. And listen to this, some debate on whether Paul is calling on a single follower or the words used can be a play on words to mean the entire body. Whose responsibility is it? All of us. All of us, because we bear that burden also. It's all of us. Either way, the Philippian church knew who he was talking to. He knew exactly who he was talking to. And he's challenged them to help resolve that dispute. He's saying, guys, come together, love on them, be the family that we are, and let's love on them, help them through this thing. Be some intervention. Don't let it get out of hand. Help them get back to where it is, because they had served with him in the gospel. When the gospel was the center, he said, they helped me in the sharing of the gospel. These are not unchristian ladies. These are Christian, good Christian workers within the church that had helped Paul, but they had lost their focus, and were focused on a disagreement. We don't know what the disagreement is. It's that these women had fought alongside of Paul in the gospel, and now it sounds like they're fighting against each other, don't it? Our struggle is not against each other. Our struggle is against Satan, and he's wanting to take as many people as he can. He's wanting to stumble us, the children of the faith, if we're not careful. He's wanting to throw stumbling blocks in front of us. He's wanting us to constantly be focusing on things that really are not important in the weight of eternity. And if we keep going back to that common thing, that thing when he says in Christ, the service of Christ, we can get over any differences. And that's what Paul, he said. He does not offer any precise remedy. Listen, he don't say this is how you correct it. But he handed it over to the church at Philippi, the church family. He said, guys, come around them, help them. It was clear that the church was to help in this situation, to help Paul in the situation. And then it says, I want you to see, Clement's mentioned briefly, and then he pulls them all together as believers, fellow workers whose name are in the book of life. Listen, do you realize if you're a believer that your name is in the book of life? That's never to be blotted out. You see what he's doing? He's drawing that. What's the importance of life? Is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what's important here today. And I don't know, and you see what? We can get so caught up. And you know, I don't know what's going through your mind right now. You might be thinking about what you need to do. You might be thinking about where you're going to eat, what you're going to do this evening. You might be thinking about a whole plethora of things that Satan likes to put in your mind when we're talking about this. But the most important thing right this moment is knowing if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's what we should be about as a church. That's what's most important to us. That people, boys and girls, men and women, come to know Jesus Christ. And we want to help you. We want to help you through that. We want to teach you. We want to say, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It doesn't matter if you've ever come to church. Let us help you see the things of Christ. We're not perfect. None of us are. But we serve a perfect Savior. And if we keep our focus on that, you know what? You can't stop what God will do and what He's about, because that's His business. He does the drawing. It's the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what? The Holy Spirit of God does not work in a place that's all focused on each other and tore up about things. He doesn't. We get our focus off of that. You know what? That's all it's about, is us and what we want. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them here. He's trying to let them know, hey guys, come on. Let's get back to what it was when you were laboring beside of me in the gospel, when we started this church, when we were reaching out, when we saw the old slave girl delivered, when we saw the Philippian jailer come to know Christ. He said, remember those things. Let's get back to that. Did they respond? Did these ladies respond? Very likely it doesn't say, but especially if they took Paul's immediately fallen imperatives to heart. If you'll see, Paul, he didn't give them a precise remedy, but boy, he gives them some scripture to live by. And we're going to see that. And fallen is one of the most memorized texts in the entire Bible. We've even memorized a couple of them ourselves, haven't we, over the last couple months. These imperatives for peaceful living. And the first is rejoice. Rejoice. Maintain a spirit of joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice is what the Scripture says. We should never forget, never forget, Paul is not sipping espresso in a Roman cafe. Is he? He's in a jail cell with uncertainty about what's going to happen to him, guys. But he, you know what he's telling them to do? Rejoice. This is not a man that's living on the mountaintop experience right now. This is a man that's in the dungeon. This is a man that doesn't know what's going to happen to his own life. But you know what he's saying to do? You want to fix the problem where you guys have got off and not looking? He said, rejoice. We should be people of joy. Should we not be the happiest people in the world? I don't mean happy. happy. I don't mean a fake happiness, but I mean, I'm talking about joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Joy from knowing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Joy. It's easy to rejoice when everything's going good, but should we rejoice in the midst of affliction? He states it twice, and don't miss the point. No loopholes, always. What does always mean? Always means always. It's always what always means. Always permit, don't permit any exceptions. Always rejoice in the Lord. That means you talk about, oh, but Brother Dave, you don't know what I'm going through, and all these things are happening, and this has happened, and that happened. You know what he said? Rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because don't focus on the temporal, the things that you're going through right now, but focus on the eternal. And one of these days, the culmination of this thing is going to be over, and we're all going to be with Jesus forever. And boy, if we can get a little taste of that, you know what? Then the things that go on in our life that weighs on us so heavily, and it does, it won't seem as heavy, does it? Will it? It'll be a little lighter. Why? Because we rejoice in the Lord. Lord, you have some of the greatest witnesses, the people going through the most difficult time. You ever seen those people? Regardless what came in their way, they always had joy in their life. Why? Because it wasn't based on a situation. It was based on a person. And his name's Jesus. Rejoice. I always say this. All we have is eternal life. Think about that. All we have is eternal life. Boy, that's something to get you through. You might be going through a rough valley right now. You might be going through a hard time. All you have is eternal life. God will get you through. He'll see you through. And with rejoicing, giving thanks. Remember what our scripture said? We're going to see that in just a minute. When we stop focusing on our obstacles and start focusing on our objectives, joy fill our heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Is that not what Nehemiah 8:10 says? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoicing in the Lord is not a luxury. It's a necessity. It's a necessity in our Christian walk. Christ has redeemed us from the pits of hell and given us eternal life. No matter if and when. Here's the deal. Our life should always orient. It doesn't matter what. Boom, we get struck down something. Death enters the picture, a loved one. We have all these problems. You know what? We get knocked, but we keep orienting back to Christ. It's like that compass. Compass is an amazing thing, isn't it? If you know how to work one and all that, I can turn it around. You know what that needle's doing? It's going. It don't know. And then all of a sudden, if I stand still, what happens? The arrow always points where? North. It doesn't matter where you turn it. You know what? And it can get a little disoriented. That should be our lives. It should be like that compass. It doesn't matter what comes our way, what comes in our life. The arrow always orients back to Christ. That's how we should live. It always orients what? Back to Christ. And when it orients back to Christ, joy comes into our lives. That's what Paul's telling them. He's saying, hey, come on, guys. Rejoice in the Lord. But next, be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And don't miss that last, the Lord is at hand. So we're to maintain a spirit of joy, but we're also, it's learning to be content. Content people. We live in a world of uncontent people. It's always striving for more and more and more. And they don't understand it's that void that I talked about that's inside. And more and more and more does not fill this void. Only Christ can fill it. I promise you. I've tried to stuff it as full as I can of the things of the world. It never fulfills. It never fulfills. Oh, it's sin fun for a season, but you have to pay the price. And it doesn't have no lasting peace, no lasting joy. You can try as you might. It will not put the fire out. Learning to be content. This is what rejoicing produces. What does rejoicing produce? Gentleness, softness, generosity, goodwill, friendliness, graciousness. Speaking of gentleness, it comes from the character of Christ himself. Listen to what he said in Matthew 11:29. I am gentle and lowly in heart. That's what Christ said. was a gentle person. Why? He had the joy of the Lord. He was the Lord. So he could be gentle. He said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. The Lord is at hand is the key. His nearness causes us to rejoice. His nearness affects the way that we react. In His nearness, we will see that what calms us, and it calms our anxiety, what God's near. Does that mean His nearness and proximity? Is it time, space? What is it talking about that His nearness? I think it's talking about both. Could Christ come any moment? Yes, He could. But is He near to us right now? Is Christ in the midst of us? Yes. So His nearness is what gets us through, what helps us to rejoice. His nearness is what helps us to be gentle in situations when we should react. Am I always gentle? Boy, my wife could say, no way. Moving that house? Listen, men and women do not move houses the same way, okay? We just want to get it over there. They want to have it just exactly where it's supposed to be. And so sometimes I just wasn't the most gentle person these last few days, okay? So have I got down pat? No, it's a constant working in my life. It's a constant allowing Christ. When I realize the Lord's at hand, and you know, sometimes He'll convict me and say, you need to tell her you're sorry. You know, you mean it's like, I don't want to tell her I'm sorry, Lord. That woman's driving me crazy. But you know what I do? I say, Lord, Sandy, I'm sorry. I shouldn't react to that way. I don't bring glory to the Lord. You know what? In our marriages, it's about bringing glory to God. That's one of the things that the Samaritan's Purse, when we went to the retreat, it was a great retreat. We didn't say nothing about it last week, but it was a great retreat. I'm hoping that we can do that here, because it's just not that me and Sandy's having trouble. It's that me and Sandy wanted to focus on our marriage. And you know what? One of the things I got out of that is your marriage is about glorifying God. Now think about that. It's about bringing glory to God. Does your marriage glorify God? Something we can all work in. The Lord is at hand. His nearness. He's with us. It doesn't matter where you go. You might think that you're getting by and nobody else sees it. Guess what? God's right there. There's no secret sins. There's no pretending with Him. Jesus is closer than our breath. And He's returning soon. Thinking a bit, when we think of that, we should rejoice. When we think of that, we should be gentle how we react to people. Should we not? And then, listen, rejoice, be gentle, don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. I can't help it. I'm one of those guys when songs come into my head. When you hear something, I'm one of those guys. I can't help it. Don't remember that old song? Don't worry, be happy. How do we do that? Don't worry, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You see, it was in the midst of this problem that they were having a little bit of division is where our memory verses come into play. He's saying so apparently there was some anxiousness within the church. Were they not? Because he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Remember, Paul's in jail again, and he's saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. Man, I might lose my head tomorrow, but I'm telling you, I'm not anxious. Why? Because in my prayer, with everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, God, thank you for the acts. Can we say that? That's what Paul's saying. Thank you for the hardship that I'm in right now. When's the last time you're going through something rough and you said, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that I'm getting to move and I'm having to put up this woman fussing at me. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. She didn't fuss at me. I knew she was going to think. She didn't fuss at me. It was me. It's that male-female communication thing. Does anybody know where I'm coming from? Nobody's going to say amen, right? Nobody's going to say amen, huh? You're going to move. Sandy's going to move back over here, she said. Okay, no, just kidding. But Paul's saying, stop worrying about anything. How in the world, in a life that's full of this, constantly, goodness, we're pulled every which way, are we not? We have so much on our plates. Mom and dad are juggling, providing a living. You got kids playing this sport, kids playing that sport, and yet you got church things to do. You got all these things. It's very anxious. You know what? I can't believe it. Those bills come every month, don't they? What's up with that? Every month. If I don't get that fly, he's going to kill me. Listen, every month, and we can be worrying and caught up about how are we going to provide? How are we going to do this? How? And if we're not careful, we become anxious and we take things in our own hand and we're trying to figure it out just like this. You know what God says? Put it in my hand. Cast your cares upon me because I care for you. He said, don't be anxious. Don't worry. And he's letting us know there's some anxiousness there at the church. You know what Paul's echoing? The teachings of Jesus in Matthew 6, 25 through 24. Or 34. You know what he says? He said, you're worried about food. What's the example that he gives us? Look at the birds. Look at the birds. So they don't sow or reap, and yet your Father in heaven, He takes care of them. He takes care of them. I've never seen, I think it was Hired. I said, you know what? I've never seen a bird sitting in a nest like this, though. Have you? Waiting on somebody to bring him some food. Have you? They're out finding it. God provides for them. He said, consider. He said, you're thinking about what you wear, what you're going to do, how you're going to dress. He said, consider the lilies. Look at the lilies of the field. Boy, right now everything's blooming. It's beautiful, isn't it? He said, they neither toil nor spin, and yet Solomon, one of the greatest kings that's ever lived. And can you imagine how he dressed and how beautiful? He said, even in his splendor, he couldn't even match a flower. And God takes a look. And he said, they're here today and gone tomorrow. Oh, but how much more so than you, my children. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you're so cumbered about, worried about, will be added unto you. You know what he's saying? He said, get the compass oriented. Allow it to be focused on me. I'll take care of these needs that you're so worried about. It's our lives that are lining up. And the corollary to not worry is what? Prayer. To be anxious for nothing but what? In everything, by prayer. How much are you praying? How much are we? And we know we're supposed to pray. We know as God's children we're supposed to pray, but how much are you really praying about that anxious situation? How much are we taking it before the Lord and say, Lord, you know I'm anxious about this, but you told me to pray with thanksgiving. That's the key. Look, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. He said, do these things. The root of all prayer should be thanksgiving, should it not? Thankfulness is the posture of grace. Thankfulness, we should be the most thankful people in the world, should we not? We just got up this morning. The sun came up. Everything's in order. We were able to come to church. What a privilege. We were able with the very breath to talk, to sing, to worship. Wow, these things that we just take so for granted. We should be so thankful, should we not? We cast all our cares on Him because He cares for us. And when we do this, you know what we're declaring? Absolute dependence on Him. Absolute dependence. Well, lastly, look, we rejoice, be gentle, don't worry, but then resting in peace. And that's our memory verse for this week. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All these imperatives that Paul has given us produces peace in our life. This is that fortress of peace I'm talking about, being fortified by it. The peace of God is that which God possesses Himself. Not which we produce on our own, but that which God produces in us. And Jesus, this is what Jesus said in John 14:21, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's peace that comes from that relationship with God. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus gives transcends all rationality. How in the world can people be facing the things that we've seen them face? I've seen some of the greatest situations, just grave, and people in there still have that rejoice, the joy of the Lord in their heart. Not a fake happiness, but a joy that's radiating through them. I've seen people on their deathbed that are trying to encourage me. That's that peace that radiates our heart. In other words, Christ's peace is a fortress of protection for our anxious heart. That's the peace. It's that fortress, that protection. Listen to this as we're finishing up. When we obey the command to rejoice, when we obey the command to be gentle to everyone, when we obey the command not to worry about anything, when we obey the command to pray with thanksgiving and thus receive the marvelous peace of God These commitments will elevate the unity and the life of the church and build an inviting haven for the world that needs Christ. When we love each other, when we allow these things, this rejoicing, this peace, this lack of anxiousness in our life, when we do that as God's people, you know what? It creates a haven for people to come in that are looking for real people. Not people, not phonies, not plastic, real people that are going through struggles, but you know what? We have a Savior. That we're not, yes, we can get anxious, but we realize we're not going to be anxious. Why? Because with joy, we're going to allow the peace of God to transcend our own minds. We're going to allow it to penetrate our lives. Why? Because it's not about us, it's about you. How can I help you? How can I reach you? Let me tell you about a Savior in your life. When we let go of the things that we harbor in, it's the prison. I like that. One of the things in our Sunday school lesson, when we don't forgive people, it creates a prison in our own heart. We have to loose that and let it go if we're going to be everything that God desires for us to be. Open up the prison doors of our own heart and in forgiveness say, Jesus, I can't, but you can. And Lord, I want you just to come in and saturate my life with peace. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to hold this no more. I don't want to keep it in my heart and let bitterness root in. I want to be all in. You know what? It's just not worth it, is it? It's just not worth it. Why? Hold on to anything, some things from the past, this or that. You hear it all the time. This happened to me. Somebody hurt my feelings, these kind of things. Guess what? It's 2014. It's June 8, 2014. Loose it and let it go like old Lazarus coming out of the grave. Let it go. And let God do a work that you've never seen before. That you've seen when we become those people that are real and we can just let it go and give it to God. What can He do? He can reach a whole community with Christ that are right outside this door by the hundreds that don't know Jesus. How is it that we're going to reach this community if we're not the people that God's called us to be? I really believe that God's doing that in our hearts. I believe that's already happening here. I want it to continue to happen. Even. I want it to continue to happen. I want God to continue to do a work in our hearts and let the peace of God saturate, no matter if there's things we need to let go, forgive, then forgive it and go on for Christ's sake. Listen to our applications. Is there anybody or anything I need to forgive, forget? That's right to the point. Is there anything, anybody or anything I need to forgive and forget? If God brought that to your mind, you need to just let it go. Just let it go. Is my life marked with rejoicing? Are we people of rejoicing? We should not be complainers, ill, fussing. We should be rejoicing people. Is my life marked with rejoicing? And lastly, is the peace of Christ seen in everything I do? Is your life marked with that peace that only comes through that relationship with Christ? What is God asking you to do this morning? If you've never received Christ, you don't even understand what I'm talking about, but the heart, the Holy Spirit of God's knocking on your heart. And He's saying, listen, I've never come to that place. I know I've never come to that place to where I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins. I've never come to that place where I understood it with my mind, but I really never said, yes, Christ Jesus, come, dwell in my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want the peace of God in my life. I know I'm one of those people that's always striving, never happy. Always, it's like this inner turmoil that the grass is always greener on the other side. I don't have this peace that goes on. Please don't miss Jesus Christ as your Savior today. There's nothing better. Nothing better. Is it easy life? No, sir, it's not. It's a difficult life, but it's the most rewarding life that you'll ever live. Why? Because you have peace with God. And that's what we're all about here. Is there something I need to let go today? I've been holding on to forever. Who knows? Let it go in our time. In our time, just let it go. Let go and let God see what He does in your life. Let that prison door open. It's been a prison in your own heart. It's not hurting whoever. It's hurting you. Let it go and let God do a work in your life. And lastly, is my life marked with peace? When people see me, do they think of Dave as a man of peace, a woman of peace, wherever? do they see peace or do they see anxiousness? What is it God wants you to do? Linda, if you'll come play. Brittany, if you'll come sing. We're going to have a time of response. Before they start, I want a time of quietness before the Lord. Everybody shut your eyes. Time of quietness. Search your own heart. If the Holy Spirit of God has said something to you, obedience is better than anything else that you'll do. If He's revealed something in your life, make it right today. If you're lost, you know it right now. And the Holy Spirit's tapping on your heart. You know what? He's not required to tap time and time again. This could be the day. Today would be the day of salvation for you. Don't let it pass. If you know that you're anxious about things and you're that person, give it to God. Give it to Him because He's in control of everything. Whatever the Lord's wanting to do. I'm going to give you just a moment of silence before the Lord. Stand to our feet.